Well, good evening, everyone. Is everybody okay this evening? Hopefully.
Yes.
All right. You know, I sort of mentioned this a little bit on Sunday with the kids, the whole idea of the Advent wreath, and I was asked to do that even for the preschool chapel this afternoon, or this morning. It's kind of funny, as I mentioned before the service started, some of the things that we do in the church, you wonder where they came from, and sometimes we think they've just been here forever. And that was sort of my thinking on the Advent wreath. I thought that's just went all the way back to Moses or something. But in actuality, it doesn't go back as far as what we would think. At least the research that I've done shows that it, in the form of an Advent wreath, it may have come on the scene around 1839, which is not that long. I mean, yeah, that's a long time ago, but not compared to the biblical history, right? And so what was fascinating about this, it was a Protestant pastor in Germany who was doing missionary work, was teaching in a school children. And the children would actually come up to him every day and say, "Is Christmas here?" And so he built an Advent wreath. And the initial Advent wreath that he built had the four candles like we have here, but then in between each one had six for every day of the week. And so another candle was lit each day. And so guess what? When the kids came in and said, "Is Christmas here yet?" What could he do? And you could count the candles. And so right now, if we had those, it would be 28 candles, 24 for the days of the week, and then four for the Sundays. It would have 28 candles. We would have four lit by now, by today. And so there would be how many left? You math whizzes. How many? 24. So how many days left till Christmas? 24. You can kind of figure that and see if that's right. I think it's close. But anyway, it was fascinating to see that what has become a tradition and actually good symbolism in one sense, a reminder that we're getting closer to Christmas and one light is lit. And as we get around the wreath, we get more light lit and we're getting closer and closer to the major light of the world, Jesus coming into the world. I mean, it's fascinating that this hasn't been here that long. And it started out really as just a practical visual aid to show us how far away Christmas is. And I read one article online, now that we name them the candle of hope, the candle of love, the candle of joy, the candle of peace. I've also grew up hearing sermons preached on the, let me see if I can remember them, the Bethlehem candle, the angel candle, the shepherd candle. And I read somewhere that that's just become a little ploy to make a few bucks, right? Because you can sell a sermon series or you can sell this this or that to go along with those themes. But initially it started out to be a visual reminder that we are getting closer and closer to Christmas. Now with Christmas in mind, of course the sermon series is titled The Gifts of Christmas. How many of you like to open gifts? Yeah, we like to open gifts, right? I've got a video clip I wanted to show just to see if any of you, if you've ever experienced this before.
What is it? What did Santa bring?
I want a toy.
Open it up, see what it is. princess shirt.
I want a toy. I want a toy.
Don't you like it?
I want a toy.
Been there or done that, or one of your kids has done that, but isn't that kind of like who we are? We want a toy. You know, we don't, a lot of times life throws us a lot of different things, and we're not expecting that. We don't want a lot of times what life brings to us. We want a toy. Right? How many of you've ever gone through a situation where you go to open your present, man, you know exactly what's in there because it's the right shape, it's the right weight and everything, and you open it up and, you know, maybe you were wanting a billfold, a guy, or some small little item, and man, it was the perfect looking size, and you opened it up and inside there was a nose hair clipper or something like that. You know, that wasn't really what you were wanting, was it? But it's what you got. Or you know, giving your wife a iron or something like that, you know. That's not, we want a toy. We want what we want. If we, there's a situation in the Bible, there's probably a lot of them, but we went over this passage several weeks ago. I'll look back because I couldn't remember either, but it was back the first part of October. But we went over the first chapter, basically, of Ruth in the Old Testament. Now, Ruth, especially Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, and their family certainly got something that I don't think anybody was wishing for. If you remember, they found themselves in a famine in their land, in the land of Judah, and they moved to Moab, Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons moved to Moab. And if you recall, once they get to Moab, Elimelech dies, Naomi's husband dies. Well, in the process, the two sons marry Moabite women. And then not too long after that, Naomi's, both of her sons die. And so certainly not something that you would hope for, certainly not something that you would wish for, but that's the situation that they found themselves in. As the chapter progresses, we find out that Naomi moves back to Judah. Actually, one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, moves with her. And marries Boaz eventually, and then they have a son. And so what appeared like, you know, this horrific situation with Naomi and her husband, losing her husband and her two sons, in the end, we have a lot brighter picture because Naomi now has a grandson. And I don't know if you put this together or not, but I think we talked about it when we went through that, but Boaz and Ruth have a son, and his name was, anybody remember? It's only been a couple months. Obed. And then Obed has a son named Jesse, and Jesse has a son named David, King David. Who eventually comes from the line of David? Jesus. Now, what's fascinating about this, and I think we went over this in Bible class in Sunday school, when two spies were sent into Jericho to spy out what was going to take over Jericho, where did the two spies stay? In the house of who? Rahab, right? Guess whose son is Rahab's son? Boaz. So when we look at things from the outside, a lot of times it's not what we really get on the inside. And life is that way a lot of times. When we see things from the outside, it's not really what we would hope for or even what we would wish for, but it sometimes turns out that way. I have a present here, and I'm sure I've already been asked by several people if it was theirs. It's not. But we like to open presents, right? We like to open presents. And so when we see a present, you know, we want to find out what's in it. And so when we open the present, we might be shocked initially at what we see, because it's probably not what we had hoped for. And as we think about life, as life circumstances come up, you know, the present, the thing that we look for in life, might be something totally different than what we would ever hope would come our way. Because sometimes life brings a lot of different situations and issues in our lives. It brings addiction, it brings debt, it brings loss, it brings divorce, it brings loneliness, it brings pain, it brings abuse, it brings unemployment, and it brings death, and it brings cancer. I mean, a lot of us experience those things, have experienced those things. And I'm going to say the thing that we initially want to do sometimes is just throw in the towel. Say, I can't handle it. I don't want any more of this. But we have to look past the package. We have to get inside the package to see what it brings, right? Because a lot of times when we open that present, it's not exactly what it appeared to be from the outside, because a lot of times we find hope. And that hope that comes at Christmas through Jesus brings us what? Salvation. In the midst of all those things we see on the outside of the box, in the midst that we see on the outside of people's lives, cancer, pain, loss, even in the midst of those situations, even like in Naomi's case, at some point, we have hope. We have hope in Jesus, and we have salvation in that gift that was given to us that first Christmas. The gift of Jesus Himself, who came into the world to die, to save us, and to give us hope. I want us to read Romans, our passage on the screen, Romans chapter 15, verse 13 together. Would you read that with me? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the hope that Christmas brings. We pray. Lord, we know that so often in life, life doesn't bring us what we've hoped for, wished for, or could even imagine being a part of our lives. But Lord, we ask that even in the midst of those challenges, in the midst of those struggles, we can look past the pain, the hurt, the cancer, the death, the loss, the loneliness that we find ourselves in, that we can look past that package, inside the package, and find you and find that hope and that salvation that you bring to us. I pray that as we continue to go through this Advent season, that we are mindful of the hope you bring, and Lord, that we look in anticipation to celebrate your birth, and look in anticipation as we wait for your final coming. Lord, bless the remainder of our week. Lord, we just ask that you would be with us and help us be the people that can bring some hope to others' lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.